Hi, good morning. Like Julie said, I'm going to talk about a evaluation we did of our syphilis interview outcomes in New York City. I'm going to talk a little bit about just reportable diseases and reportable STDs in New York City, and sort of just to build the case for the burden that we have in terms of our field services, the volume of syphilis field work that we do, and then an evaluation that we conducted back in 2012 around syphilis interview outcomes, the changes we made in the syphilis interview criteria based on that evaluation, and then a comparison of the syphilis interview outcomes before and after those changes. So this table just shows the number of cases reported for STDs in New York City in 2012, just to give you a sense of the volume. I'm going to focus on syphilis today, but I wanted to just show you to see the numbers. We don't actually do field investigations for chlamydia or most gonorrhea cases because we just don't have the capacity. So the responsibility for following up on these cases falls to the staff in our case investigation and partner services unit. We call them SIPs. And there was about 4,000 cases of syphilis in 2012, and it's been sort of similar around those years. So, while this table shows the actual number of syphilis cases, New York City actually receives about 56,000 positive syphilis laboratory reports or reactors each year. And almost 7,000 of these reactors are sent to the field staff in the form of T1 field records each year. So those 7,000 reactors have to be worked by the field staff to determine whether the individuals were properly treated and what stage of syphilis the person has. In the previous slide, I talked about the volume of work associated with the T1 field investigations, and this slide shows the volume of work associated with the actual syphilis interviews. So in 2010 and 11, we interviewed all primary and secondary, early latent, and latent of unknown duration syphilis cases, as well as the late latent cases with titers of 1 to 32 or higher who were younger than 55 years. So this translated, as you can see, into roughly 2,000 interviews per year. So just to summarize, that means our field staff had 7,000 T1 field records, 2,000 interviews, and then here the column that says field records, these are the partner field records that were cut based on the interviews of these syphilis cases that were interviewed. So in addition, that's about 1,600 to 1,800 partner field records per year. So how do we do that? So in these years we had, so in 2010-11 we had about 10 supervisors or FLSs and 74 PHAs or DIS who were capable of conducting interviews and partner services. And yet, it's important to note that the same staff who are responsible for field work in New York City are also assigned to cover the STD clinics. So in this capacity, the PHAs and the DIS cover triage, phlebotomy, the reading and running of the rapid HIV tests, as well as providing the HIV results, and as well as doing interviews in the clinics. And they're assigned to the clinics typically 3 to 4 days out of the week. So, hence the need for an evaluation of our syphilis interview outcomes to see how we could fine-tune what we were doing. So, in 2012, we looked back at the syphilis case data from 2010 and 11 to look at the stage of disease, gender, race, age, and sexual behavior of the index case, and we were just trying to find a subpopulation of these cases that we could maybe narrow down the interviews to. So, partner and cluster indices were for the most part below 1 for all stages of syphilis in 2010 and 11, but declined more precipitously among the late syphilis cases. The partner index did not get above 0.6 for latent of unknown duration or late latent cases in either 2010 or 11, and the cluster indices for cases in these stages were at 0.1 or below. So as a side note, there was one secondary syphilis case in 2011 that named 183 partners, which accounts for the blip in the partner index in that year. So this slide shows the interview outcomes of PNS syphilis cases in 2010 and 11 by gender and sexual orientation. And we found that women actually provided more partners than men when interviewed. And then, interestingly, men who have sex with men, or MSM, provided more partners than all other men interviewed. So we decided to take a closer look at the MSM PNS cases, but we didn't see any patterns regarding context and indices by race of the index patient. When we looked at the partner indices of male PNS cases by age, we saw some interesting differences. Among all males, the partner index is highest for men who are younger than 25 years old and begins to slowly drop with each increasing age bracket. So for men who are older than 45, the partner index had not gone above 0.4 in 2010 or 11. So in sum, we found that the partner and cluster indices were higher among the early syphilis cases and then seemed to drop with the 740s and 745s. That indices were higher for MSM than other men, but for us in New York City, the bulk of syphilis cases, of PNS syphilis cases, are among MSM, so that didn't really help us in terms of narrowing it down. And that older men, those over 45, were providing locatable partners a lot less frequently than their younger counterparts. So based on these findings, in July of 2012, we decided to stop interviewing latent of unknown duration and late-latent syphilis cases. And the justification for that was really that the yield in terms of the overall number of partners found from these cases who were epidemiologically treated or infected and brought to treat, so for those of you who know the lingo, it's a dispo of an A or a C, were quite small compared to the number of interviews actually conducted. So in 2009, we found 9 partners who were disposed as A and C out of over 600 late-latent interviews conducted. And in 2011, we found 13 of those A and Cs out of 562 interviews. And then after reviewing the yield from the interviews of older males and seeing the partner drop significantly among PNS cases, we decided the juice just wasn't worth the squeeze. And so since the interviews each represented a lot of time and effort, and so we limited the interviews of early syphilis cases to individuals who are less than 45 years old. So by further fine-tuning the case portfolio, the goal was to focus on the cases that would produce the highest number of exposed and infected partners and reach the partners in a timelier fashion. Thank you. So for the evaluation, we looked at early syphilis partner indices and time to interview, and we compared the data from 2011 to the year after we made the changes and using chi-square analysis. So the results. There was a decrease in the overall number of interviews, down by 8.6%, but we saw little improvement in the actual partner index. In terms of timeliness of interview, we did actually see an increase in the percentage of cases that were interviewed within 14 days, a significant increase. So for PNS cases, it went from 48% to 61% interviewed in 14 days and from 42 to 56%. And the reason why we really looked at 14 days is because the majority 75% of the syphilis cases in New York City are diagnosed outside of the SD clinics, so the reactors don't really appear in our registry system for a few days. So we felt like 14 days was the most realistic timeline to reach those patients for interview. So when you're evaluating the effectiveness of case and contact investigations, one of the most important measures to look at is disease intervention index. And this is the number of partners found who are infected or epi-treated over the number of interviews, so the A's and C's. So what we found was that for all syphilis cases, the disease intervention index increased significantly from 0.23 to 0.26, which is still not great. But when you broke it down by PNS and by early latent, there was an increase, but it wasn't significant. So in conclusion, by changing the syphilis criteria, we were interviewing less people but maintained the same or slightly better disease intervention rates. We interviewed patients in a more timely fashion, and we did see very little to almost no improvements in our partner elicitation, the number of partners that we got. So in terms of next steps, we have actually seen sustained improvements in our partner service outcomes since these changes were made. So in fact, the partner index for PNS syphilis cases for 2013 as a full year improved to 1.07. So we finally made it over one for the year, and that has been sustained since then. And the percent of early cases interviewed within 14 days has held steady at about 61%, and for PNS cases, it's at 66% in 2013. So we also made some changes since then in terms of our interview criteria based on the APPS grant. We're now focusing on syphilis cases co-infected with HIV. So we dropped the when CDC dropped the 740 category from the surveillance case definition, we switched to interviewing 745s co-infected with HIV who are less than 45 years old. So we've also been trying other ways of improving our partner services. We've been focusing on internet partners. So we had a group from the CDC come down recently and do a training for our staff around eliciting internet partners. We've been trying to make sure that our staff have access to the explicit sites that they need in order to get the partners from the patients. And then we have something on the horizon, which is a web-based self-interview that's going to be emailed to certain patients through our registry system, and it'll allow them to actually perform a self-interview for syphilis and other diseases. That's it. I just really wanted to thank the FLSs and our STD clinics who do all of the hard work in terms of supervising the staff, and Dr. Jay Varma, who actually initiated the evaluation to begin with in 2012. Thanks.